Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into the history of Houston's bunnies on the bayou. You sent us quite the collection of website details, a wiki entry, clippings, personal stories, basically from 81 to 03.
Yeah, and our goal is really to piece together how this well-known Houston LGBT community event actually began.
So starting with their current website, Bunnies on the Bayou, Inc. presents itself as, you know, this all-volunteer 501c3 nonprofit.
Right. That's the standard U.S. nonprofit status. And they say they raise money for LGBT charities, mostly through this big outdoor cocktail party on Easter Sunday.
And the site traces it all back to a birthday party in 1979.
Which is interesting. It mentions that the focus shifted in the early 80s because of the HIV/AIDS crisis, becoming more about community support.
They also highlight raising, what, over $1.2 million in just the last decade? Pretty impressive.
Totally. But when you start looking at these older documents we found, things get, oh, well, a bit more complex.
Yeah, like this clipping from 1981. It talks about a bunny fuck party. Definitely catches the eye.
It does. Mm-hmm. And it was apparently on Kipling Street described as a hot ticket invite for Easter weekend. That sounds different. Less formal, maybe.
A lot different than a charity-focused birthday party, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we've got the official 79 birthday origin and then this 81 bunnyfuck party.
And this is where Steve Sabota's account comes in. He was actually one of the hosts of that 81 party.
What does he say?
Well, according to him, it started pretty casually. Just a chat with Roy Orso, like, hey, let's throw a big Easter party for maybe 300 friends.
Wow, 300. That's ambitious for a house party.
Right. Initial budget was apparently just $500, and he lists six hosts, including himself and Roy. The focus was just social.
And the details he remembers. Hot pink invitations, matching t-shirts.
Uh-huh. A DJ set up in the driveway, dancing.
And that name, Bunny Fuck. He said everyone agreed on it instantly, and Roy even drew this crude logo for it. It sounds like a proper party, not really a fundraiser, just 2 to 4 p.m.
Yeah, Sabota seems quite clear that, in his view, the 79 party mentioned on the website was something else entirely. He says their bunnyfuck parties were 81, 82, 83 at their house.
Okay, so his perspective is that another group kind of took the name later and morphed it into what became Bunnies on the Bayou.
That seems to be his recollection. And our sources do show the name officially changed to Bunnies on the Bayou around 1992.
Ray Ramirez apparently suggested the name change, maybe to improve the public image as they aimed for that 501c status, which they got in 95, and they moved to Fish Plaza then too.
It makes sense. A name like Bunny Fuck Party, while memorable, probably wasn't ideal for, you know, official nonprofit status or wider public fundraising.
So looking at the media mentions over those years, It seems it was still being called a private party or the Bunny Fuck Party, even in, like, 1989.
Exactly. But then, by 1991, there's a mention of collecting food for Stone Soup, a local charity. So the charitable angle was starting to creep in even before the official name and status change.
Right, likely driven by the community needs, especially with the ongoing AIDS crisis. That makes sense.
It seems like a gradual shift.
And what about the hosts? That changed too, right?
Yeah, from that first group of six, the lists we see from the early 90s are much longer. By 91, there are tons of names.
And then in 92, Penny Productions, Inc. is listed as the organizer for Bunnies on the Bayou, and the invites actually required bringing food donations for Stone Soup.
That feels like a key transition point, moving from purely private hosts to a more formal organizational structure with clear charitable requirements.
One last confusing bit, those anniversary mentions in the press.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. The papers called it the 14th anniversary in 94, which would imply a 1980 start.
Then the 15th in 95, consistent with 1980. But then in 96, it's the 16th birthday. And in 97, the 18th anniversary.
So it jumps. Suggesting maybe they corrected the starting year count back to 1979, aligning more with that initial birthday party idea later on.
It really underscores how the early history wasn't neatly documented. Or maybe it was deliberately reframed as the event grew.
Yeah, it looks like it. So summing up, we've got this blend of stories. An informal, maybe slightly provocative private party, or possibly two separate early events that gradually transforms.
Yeah, into this major established charitable organization. It's quite the journey from a backyard party with a memorable name.
It really shows how community initiatives can start small, maybe even playfully, and evolve into something significant, adapting to the community's needs over time.
Which kind of leaves you thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How many important community groups or traditions started out just as informally, maybe even a bit cheekily, before becoming something established and vital? It makes you wonder about the unpredictable ways communities build themselves.